Macbeth by William Shakespeare, starring Stephen Burkoff. Adapted and produced for radio by David Benedictus. Music by Mark Glentworth. Burkoff's Macbeth.
When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain? When the hurly-burly is done, when the battle's lost and won, that will be ere the set of sun. Where the place upon the heath, there to meet with Macbeth. I come, Grey Malkin. Paddock calls. Anon! Fair is foul and foul is fair. Hover through the fog.
What bloody man is that? He can report as seemeth by his plight of the revolt the new estate.
This is the sergeant, who, like a good and hardy soldier, fought against my captivity. Hail, brave friend. Say to the king the knowledge of the broil as thou didst leave it.
Doubtful it stood, as two spent swimmers that do cling together and choke their art. The merciless MacDonald, with fortune on his damned quarrel smiling, showed like a rebel's whore. But all's too weak for brave Macbeth. Well, he deserves that name. Disdaining fortune with his brandished steel, which smoked with bloody execution like valor's minion, carved out his passage till he faced the slave, which ne'er shook hands nor bade farewell to him till he unseamed him from the nave to the chops and fixed his head upon our battlements.
Oh, valiant cousin, worthy gentleman.
Mark, King of Scotland, mark. No sooner justice had with valour armed compelled those skipping kerns to trust their heels, but the Norwegian lord, surveying vantage, with furbished arms and new supplies of men, began a fresh assault.
Dismayed not this our captains, Macbeth and Banquo?
Yes, as sparrows eagles, or the hare the lion. So they doubly redoubled strokes upon the foe, except they meant to bathe in reeking wounds or memorize another Golgotha. I cannot tell, but I am faint. My gashes cry for help.
So well thy words become thee as thy wounds. They smack of honor both. Go, get him surgeons. Who comes here?
Worthy Thane of Ross.
What a haste looks through his eyes. So should he look that seems to speak things strange.
God save the king!
Whence camest thou, worthy Thane?
From Fife, great king, where the Norwegian banners flout the sky and fan our people cold. Norway himself, assisted by that most disloyal traitor, the Thane of Cawdor, began a dismal conflict till that Macbeth, Bellona's bridegroom, confronted him with self-comparisons, point against point, rebellious arm against arm, curbing his lavish spirit, and to conclude, the victory fell on us!
Great happiness! No more that Thane of Cawdor shall deceive our bosom interest. Go, pronounce his present death, and with his former title, greet Macbeth.
I'll see it done.
What he hath lost, noble Macbeth hath won.
Thou been, sister, killing swine, sister, where thou A sailor's wife had chestnuts in her lap and marched and marched and marched. Give me, quoth I, a right thee, witch. The rump-fed Runyon cries, her husband's to Aleppo gone, master o'er the tiger. But in a sieve I'll thither sail, and like a rat without a tail, I'll give thee wind, that kind, and I another. I myself have all the other. Look what I have. Show me, show me. Here I have a pilot's thumb, racked as homeward he did come. A drum, a drum. Macbeth does come. Must do go about, about. Thrice to thine and thrice to mine and thrice again. Make up nine. Peace. The charms wound up, wound up.
So foul and fair a day I have not seen.
How far is court to forest?
What are these? So withered and so wild in their attire that look not like the inhabitants of the air, and yet aren't. Live you? Or are you aught that man may question? You seem to understand me. By each at once a choppy finger laying upon her skinny lips. You should be women, and yet your beards forbid me to interpret that you are so.
Speak if you can. What are you?
Oh, hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Glamis. All hail, Macbeth. Hail to thee, Thane of Cawdor. All hail, Macbeth, that shalt be king hereafter.
Good sir, why do you start and seem to fear things that do sound so fair? In the name of truth, are ye fantastical, or that indeed which outwardly ye show? My noble partner you greet with present grace, and great prediction of noble having and of royal hope, that he seems wrapped withal. To me, you speak not. If you can look into the seeds of time and say which grains will grow and which will not, speak then to me, who neither beg nor fear your favors nor your hate.
Lesser than Macbeth, and greater. Not so happy, yet much happier. Thou shalt get kings, though thou be none. So all hail Macbeth and Banquo. Banquo and Macbeth, all hail!
Stay, you imperfect speakers, tell me more. By Sinel's death, I know I am the Thane of Glamis, but how of Cawdor? The Thane of Cawdor lives, a prosperous gentleman, and to be king stands not within the prospect of belief, no more than to be Cawdor. Say, from whence you owe this strange intelligence? Or why upon this blasted heath you stop our way with such prophetic greeting? Speak, I charge you.
The earth hath bubbles as the water has, and these are of them. Whither are they vanished?
Into the air, And what seemed corporal melted as breath into the wind. Would they had stayed?
Were such things here as we do speak about? Or have we eaten on the insane route that takes the recent prisoner?
Your children shall be kings.
You shall be king.
And Thane of Gwordor too. When did not, sir?
To the selfsame tune and words.
Who's here?
My worthy Ross and Angus.
The king hath happily received, Macbeth, the news of thy success. And when he reads thy personal venture in the rebels' fight, his wonders and his praises do contend, which should be thine or his, as thick as hail. Come post with post, and every one did bear thy praises in his kingdom's great defence, and poured them down before him.
We are sent to give thee from our royal master thanks, only to herald thee into his sight, not pay thee.
And for an earnest of a greater honour, he bade me from him call thee Thane of Cawdor, in which addition hail, most worthy Thane, for it is thine.
What? Can the devil speak true?
The Thane of Cawdor lives. Why do you dress me in borrowed robes? Who was the Thane lives yet, but under heavy judgment bears that life which he deserves to lose. Whether he was combined with those of Norway, or did line the rebel with hidden help and vantage, or that with both he labored in his country's rack, I know not. But treason's capital, confessed and proved, have overthrown him.
Lams, and Thane of Cawdor, the greatest is behind.
Thanks for your pains.
Do you not hope your children shall be kings when those that gave the Thane of Cawdor to me promised no less to them?
That trusted home might yet enkindle you into the crown, besides the Thane of Cawdor. But it is strange. And oftentimes to win us to our harm, the instruments of darkness tell us truths. Win us with honest trifles to betray us in deepest consequence.
Cousins, a word, I pray you.
Two truths are told as happy prologues to the swelling act of the imperial theme.
I thank you, gentlemen.
This supernatural soliciting cannot be ill. It cannot be good. If ill, why hath it given me earnest of success? Commencing, in a truth, I am Thane of Cawdor. If good, why do I yield to that suggestion whose horrid image doth unfix my hair and make my seated heart knock at my ribs against the use of nature? Present fears are less than horrible imaginings. My thought, whose murder yet is but fantastical, shakes all my single state of man, that function is smothered in surmise, and nothing is but what is not.
Look how our partner's wrapped.
If chance will have me king, why chance may crown me without my stir?
New honors come upon him. Like our strange garments cleave not to their mold, but with the aid of use.
Come what come may, time and the hour runs through the roughest day.
Worthy Macbeth, we stay upon your leisure.
Let us toward the king.
Think upon what hath chanced, and at more time, the interim having waited, let us speak our free heart, each to other.
Very gladly.
Till then, enough.
Come, friends.
Is execution done on Cawdor? Are not those in commission yet returned?
My liege, they are not yet come back. But I have spoke with one that saw him die, who did report that very frankly he confessed his treasons, implored your highness pardon, and set forth a deep repentance. Nothing in his life became him like the leaving it. He died as one that had been studied in his death, to throw away the dearest thing he owed, as 'twere a careless trifle.
There's no art to find the mind's construction in the face. He was a gentleman on whom I built an absolute trust. Oh, worthiest cousin, the sin of my ingratitude even now was heavy on me. Thou art so far before that swiftest wing of recompense is slow to overtake thee. Would thou hadst less deserved, that the proportion both of my thanks and payment might have been mine. Only I have left to say, more is thy due the more than all can pay.
The service and the loyalty I owe in doing it pays itself. Your Highness' part is to receive our duties, and our duties are to your throne and state, children and servants, which do but what they should by doing everything safe toward your love and honour.
Welcome hither. I have begun to plant thee, and will labour to make thee full of growing. Noble Banquo, that has no less deserved, nor must be known no less to have done so, let me enfold thee and hold thee to my heart.
There, if I grow, the harvest is your own.
My plenteous joys, wanton in fullness, seek to hide themselves in drops of sorrow. Sons, kinsmen, thanes, and you whose places are the nearest, know we will establish our estate upon our eldest, Malcolm, whom we name hereafter the Prince of Cumberland, which honour must, not unaccompanied, invest him only, but signs of nobleness like stars shall shine on all deservers. From hence to Inverness, and bind us further to you.
The rest is labour, which is not used for you. I'll be myself the harbinger and make joyful the hearing of my wife with your approach. So, humbly take my leave.
My worthy Cawdor.
The Prince of Cumberland. That is a step on which I must fall down, or else o'erleap, for in my way it lies. Stars, hide your fires. Let not light see my black and deep desires. The eye wink at the hand, yet let that be which the eye fears when it is done to see.
True, worthy Banquo, he is full so valiant, and in his commendations I am fed. It is a banquet to me. Let's after him, whose care's gone before to bid us welcome. It is a peerless kinsman.
They met me in the day of success, and I have learned by the perfectest report they have more in them than mortal knowledge. When I burned in desire to question them further, they made themselves air, into which they vanished. Whilst I stood wrapped in the wonder of missives from the king,
who all hailed me Thane of Cawdor, by which title before these weird sisters saluted me and referred me to the coming on of time with hail king that shall be. This have I thought good to deliver thee, my dearest partner of greatness, that thou mightst not lose the dues of rejoicing by being ignorant of what greatness is promised thee. Lay it to thy heart and farewell. Glamis thou art, and Cawdor, and shalt be what thou art promised. Yet do I fear thy nature. It is too full of the milk of human kindness to catch the nearest way. Thou wouldst be great, art not without ambition, but without the illness should attend it. What thou wouldst highly, that wouldst thou holily. Wouldst not play false, and yet wouldst wrongly win. Thou'dst have, great Glamis, that which cries, thus thou must do if thou have it, and that which rather thou dost fear to do than wishes should be undone. Hie thee hither, that I may pour my spirits in thine ear, and chastise with the valour of my tongue all that impedes thee from the golden round, which fate and metaphysical aid doth seem to have thee crowned withal. What is your tidings?
The king comes here tonight.
Thou art mad to say it. Is not thy master with him, who, were it so, would have informed for preparation?
So please you, it is true. Our thane is coming. One of my fellows had the speed of him who, almost dead for breath, had scarcely more than would make up his message.
Give him tending. He brings great news. The raven himself is hoarse that croaks the fatal entrance of Duncan under my battlements. Come, you spirits, that tend on mortal thoughts, unsex me here, and fill me from the crown to the toe, top full of direst cruelty. Make thick my blood, stop up the access and passage to remorse, that no compunctious visitings of nature shake my fell purpose, nor keep peace between the effect and it. Come to my woman's breasts and take my milk for gall, you murdering ministers, wherever in your sightless substances you wait on nature's mischief. Come, thick night, and pull thee in the dunnest smoke of hell, that my keen knife see not the wound it makes, nor heaven peep through the blanket of the dark to cry, hold, hold. Great Glam's worthy Cawdor, greater than both by the all hail hereafter. Thy letters have transported me beyond this ignorant present, and I feel now the future in the instant.
My dearest love, Duncan comes here tonight.
And when goes hence?
Tomorrow, as he purposes.
Oh, never shall sun that morrow see. Your face, my Thane, is as a book where men may read strange matters. To beguile the time, look like the time. Bear welcome in your eye, your hand, your tongue. Look like the innocent flower, but be the serpent under it. He that's coming must be provided for, and you shall put this night's great business into my dispatch, which shall to all our nights and days to come give solely sovereign sway and masterdom.
We will speak further.
Only look up clear. To alter favour ever is to fear. Leave all the rest to me.
This castle hath a pleasant seat. The air nimbly and sweetly recommends itself unto our gentle senses.
This guest of summer, the temple-haunting martlet, doth approve by his loved mansionry that the heaven's breath smells wooingly here. No jutty, frieze, buttress, nor coign of vantage, but this bird hath made his pendant bed and procreant cradle. Where they most breed and haunt, I have observed, the air is delicate.
See, see, our honored hostess. The love that follows us sometime is our trouble, which still we thank as love.
All our service in every point, twice done and then done double, were poor and single business to contend against those honors deep and broad wherewith your majesty loads our house. For those of old and the late dignities, heaped up to them, we rest your hermits.
Where's the Thane of Cawdor? We coursed him at the heels and had a purpose to be his purveyor, but he rides well. And his great love, sharp as his spur, hope him to his home before us. Fair and noble hostess, we are your guests tonight.
Your highness' pleasure still to return your own.
Give me your hand. Conduct me to mine host. We love him highly and shall continue our graces towards him. By your leave, hostess.
If it were done, when 'tis done, then 'twere well it were done quickly. If the assassination could trammel up the consequence and catch with his surcease success, that but this blow might be the be-all and the end-all here, but here, upon this bank and shoal of time, we'd jump the life to come. But in these cases, we still have judgment here, that we but teach bloody instructions, which being taught, return to plague the inventor. This even-handed justice commends the ingredients of our poisoned chalice to our own lips. He's here in double trust. First, as I am his kinsman and his subject, strong both against the deed, then as his host, who should against the murderer shut the door, not bear the knife myself? Besides, This Duncan hath borne his faculties so meek, hath been so clear in his great office, that his virtues will plead like angels, trumpet-tongued against the deep damnation of his taking off. And pity, like a naked newborn babe, striding the blast, or heaven's cherubims forced upon the sightless couriers of the air, shall blow the horrid deed in every eye, that tears shall drown the wind. I have no spur to prick the sides of my intent, but only vaulting ambition which o'erleaps itself and falls on the other.
And now, what news?
He has almost supped. Why have you left the chamber?
Have they asked for me?
No, you not, he has.
We will proceed no further in this business. He hath honoured me of late, and I have bought golden opinions from all sorts of people, which should be worn now in their newest gloss, not cast aside so soon.
Was the hope drunk wherein you dressed yourself? Have it slept since, and wakes it now to look so green and pale at what it did so freely? From this time such I account thy love. Art thou afeared to be the same in thine own act and valour as thou art in desire? Wouldst thou have that which thou esteem'st the ornament of life, and live a coward in thine own esteem, letting I dare not wait upon I would, like the poor cat in the adage?
Prithee, peace! I dare do all that may become a man. Who dares do more is none.
What beast was then that made you break this enterprise to me? When you durst do it, then you were a man, and to be more than what you were, you'd be so much more the man. I have given suck, and know how tender it is to love the babe that milks me. I would, while he was smiling in my face, have plucked my nipple from his boneless gums and dashed his brains out, had I so sworn, as you have done to this.
If we should fail...
We fail, but screw your courage to the sticking place, and we'll not fail. When Duncan is asleep, whereto the rather shall his hard day's journey soundly invite him, his two chamberlains will I with wine and wassail so convince that memory, the water of the brain, shall be a fume and the receipt of reason a limbeck only. When in swinish sleep their drenched natures lie as in a death, what cannot you and I perform upon the unguarded Duncan? What not put upon his spongy officers, who shall bear the guilt of our great quell?
Bring forth men, children only, for thy undaunted metal should compose nothing but males. Will it not be received when we have marked with blood those sleepy two of his own chamber, and use their very daggers that they have done it?
Who dares receive it other, as we shall make our griefs and clamour roar upon his death?
I am settled, and bend up each corporal agent to this terrible feat. Away, and mock the time with fairest show. False face must hide what the false heart doth know.
How goes the night, boy?
The moon is down. I have not heard the clock.
And she goes down at 12.
I take it later, sir.
Hold. Take my sword. There's husbandry in heaven. The candles are all out. Take thee that too. A heavy summons lies like lead upon me, and yet I will not sleep. Merciful powers restraining me, the cursed thoughts that nature gives way to in repose. Give me my sword! Who's there?
A friend.
What, sir? Not yet at rest. The king's abed. He hath been in unusual pleasure, and sent forth great largesse to your offices. This diamond he greets your wife withal, by the name of most kind hostess. and shut up in measureless content.
For being unprepared, our will became a servant to defect, which else should free have wrought.
All's well.
I dreamt last night of the three weird sisters. To you, they showed some truth.
I think not of them. Yet when we can entreat an hour to serve, we would spend it in some words upon that business, if you would grant the time.
At your kindest leisure.
If you shall cleave to my consent, when 'tis, it shall make honor for you.
So I lose none in seeking to augment it, but still keep my bosom franchised and my allegiance clear. I shall be counseled.
Good repose the while.
Thanks, sir. The like to you.
Go bid thy mistress when my drink is ready, she strike upon the bell. Get thee to bed.
Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle toward my hand? Come. Touch thee. I have thee not, and yet I see thee still. Art thou not fatal vision, sensible to feeling, as to sight? Or art thou but a dagger of the mind, a false creation proceeding from the heat oppressed brain? I see thee yet, in form as palpable as this which now I draw. Thou marshalest me the way that I was going, and such an instrument I was to use. Mine eyes are made the fools of the other senses, or else worth all the rest. I see thee still, and on thy blade and dudgeon, gouts of blood, which was not so before. There's no such thing. 'Tis the bloody business which informs thus to mine eyes. Now, o'er the one half world, nature seems dead, and wicked dreams abuse the curtained sleep. Witchcraft celebrates pale Hecate's offerings, and withered murder, alarmed by his sentinel, the wolf, whose howls his watch, thus, with his stealthy pace, with Tarquin's ravishing strides towards his design, moves like a ghost. Thou sure and firm set earth, hear not my steps, which way they walk, for fear the very stones prate of my whereabout, and take the present horror from the time which now suits with it. Whiles I threat, words to the heat of deeds too cold breath gives, I go, and it is done. The bell invites me. Hear it not, Duncan, for it is a knell that summons thee to heaven or to hell.
Which hath made them drunk hath made me bold. What hath quenched them hath given me fire. Hark! Peace. It was the owl that shrieked, the fatal bellman which gives the sternest good night. He is about it. The doors are open, and the surfeiter grooms do mock their charge with snores. I have drugged their possets, that death and nature do contend about them whether they live or die.
Who's there? What ho?
Alack, I'm afraid they have a wait. 'Tis not done. The attempt and not the deed confounds us. Hark! I had laid the daggers ready. Could not miss him. Had he not resembled my father as he slept, I had done't. My husband.
I have done the deed.
Didst thou not hear a noise?
I heard the owl scream, the crickets cry. Did not you speak?
When?
Now.
As I descended?
Aye.
Hark! Who lies in the second chamber?
Don't they?
This is a sorry sight.
A foolish thought to say a sorry sight.
his pardon, did laugh in sleep, and one cried, "Murder!" That they did wake each other. I stood and heard them, but they did say their prayers and address them again to sleep.
There are two lodged together.
One cried, "God bless us," and "Amen," the other, as they had seen me with these handmen's hands. Listening their fear, I could not say amen, when they did say, "God bless us."
Consider it not so deeply.
But wherefore could I not pronounce amen? I had most need of blessing and amen stuck in my throat.
These deeds must not be thought after these ways, so it will make us mad.
Methought I heard a voice cry, "Sleep no more. Macbeth does murder sleep." The innocent sleep, sleep that knits up the raveled sleeve of care, the death of each day's life, sore labor's bath, balm of hurt minds, great nature's second cause, chief nourisher in life's feast.
What do you mean?
Still it cried, "Sleep no more," to all the house. Glamis hath murdered sleep, and therefore Cawdor shall sleep no more. Macbeth shall sleep no more.
Who was it that thus cried? Why, worthy thane, you do unbend your noble strength to think so brain sickly of things. Go get some water and wash this filthy witness from your hand. Why did you bring these daggers from the place? They must lie there. Go carry them and smear the sleepy grooms with blood.
I'll go no more. I am afraid to think what I have done. Look on again, I dare not.
Infirm of purpose, give me the daggers. The sleeping and the dead are but as pictures. 'Tis the eye of childhood that fears a painted devil. If you do bleed, I'll gild the faces of the grooms with all, for it must seem their guilt.
Whence is that knocking? How is't with me when every noise appalls me? What hands are here? Ah, they pluck out mine eyes. Will all great Neptune's ocean wash this blood clean from my hand? No, this my hand will rather the multitudinous seas incarnadine, making the green one red.
My hands are of your colour, but I shame to wear a heart so white. I hear a knocking at the south entry. Retire we to our chamber. A little water clears us of this deed. How easy is it then? Your constancy hath left you unattended. Hark, more knocking. Get on your nightgown, lest occasion call us and show us to be watchers. Be not lost so poorly in your thoughts.
To know my deed, 'twere best not know myself. Wait, Duncan, with thy knocking! I would thou couldst.
Oh. Here's a knocking indeed. If a man were porter of Hell Gate, he should have old turning the key. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there in the name of Beelzebub? Here's a farmer that hangs himself on the expectation of plenty. Come in time, please, eh? Have napkins in now about yet? Here, you'll sweat for it. Ah. Knock, knock, who's there in the other devil's name? Faith, here's an equivocator that could swear in both the scales against either scale, who committed treason enough for God's sake, yet could not equivocate to heaven. Oh, come in, equivocator. Knock, knock, who's there? Faith, here's an English tailor come hither for stealing out of a French hose. Come in, tailor. Here, you may roast your goose. Knock, knock, never at quiet. What are you? Well, this place is too cold for hell. I'll devil porter it no further. Anon, anon! I pray you, remember the porter.
Was it so late, friend, ere you went to bed that you do lie so late?
Oh, faith, sir. We were carousing till the second cock. And drink, sir, is a great provoker of three things.
What three things does drink especially provoke?
Marry, sir, nose painting, sleep, in your right. Let's you say it. It provokes and unprovokes. It provokes the desire, but it takes away the performance. Therefore, much drink may be said to be an equivocator with lechery. It makes him, and it mars him. It sets him on, and it takes him off. It persuades him and disheartens him, makes him stand to, and not stand to. In conclusion, equivocates him in a sleep, and giving him the lie, leaves him.
I believe drink gave thee the lie last night. Is thy master stirring? Our knocking has awaked him. Here he comes.
Good morrow, noble sir.
Good morrow, both.
Is the king stirring, worthy thane?
Not yet.
He did command me to call timely on him. I have almost slipped the hour.
I'll bring you to him.
I know this is a joyful trouble to you, but yet 'tis one.
The labour we delight in physics pain. This is the door.
I'll make so bold to call, for 'tis my limited service.
Goes the king hence today?
He does. He did appoint so.
The night has been unruly. Where we lay, our chimneys were blown down. And, as they say, lamentings heard in the air. Strange screams of death and prophesying with accents terrible, of dire combustion and confused events new hatched to the woeful time. The obscure bird clamored the livelong night. Some say the earth was feverous and did shake.
It was a rough night.
My young remembrance cannot parallel a fellow to it.
What is the matter?
Confusion now hath made his masterpiece. Most sacrilegious murder hath broke open the Lord's anointed temple and stole men for life of the building.
What is you say? The life?
Mean you his majesty?
Approach the chamber and destroy your sight with a new gorgon. Do not bid me speak, see, and then speak yourselves. Awake! Awake! Ring the alarum bell! Murder and treason! Banquo, Dolomay, Lalfa, awake! Shake off his downy sleep, best counterfeit and look on death itself! Up! Up and see the great doom's image! Malcolm! Banquo! As from your graves, rise up and walk like sprites to countenance this horror!
What's the business that such a hideous trumpet calls to parley the sleepers of this house? Speak, speak!
Oh, gentle lady, it is not for you to hear what I could speak. The repetition in a woman's ear would murder as it fell. Oh, Banquo. Banquo, our royal master's murdered.
Oh, alas! What, in our house?
Too cruel anywhere.
Oh. Dove, I prithee contradict thyself and say it is not so.
Had I but died an hour before this chance, I had lived a blessed time. For from this instant, there's nothing serious in mortality. All is but toys. Renown and grace is dead. The wine of life is drawn, and the mere lease is left this malt to crack off.
What is amiss?
You are, and do not know it. The spring, the head, the fountain of your blood is stopped. The very source of it is stopped.
Your royal father's murdered.
By whom?
Those of his chamber, as it seemed, had done it. Their hands and faces were all badged with blood. So were their daggers, which unwiped we found upon their pillows. They stared and were distracted. No man's life was to be trusted with them.
Oh, yet I do repent me of my fury that I did kill them.
Wherefore did you so?
Who can be wise? Amazed? Temperate? And furious? Loyal? And neutral in a moment? No, man. The expedition of my violent love outrun the pause of reason.
Why do we hold our tongues that most may claim this argument for ours?
Here lay Duncan, his silver skin laced with his golden blood, and his gashed stabs looked like a breach in nature for ruin's wasteful entrance. There, the murderers, steeped in the colours of their trade, their daggers unmannerly breached with gore.
What should be spoken here, where our fate, hid in an auger hole, may rush and seize us? Let's away. our tears are not yet brewed.
Nor our strong sorrow upon the foot of motion.
Who could refrain? That had a heart to love, and in that heart courage to make love's know.
Help me, heads, help!
Look to the lady.
Look to the lady. And when we have our naked frailties hid that suffer in exposure, let us meet and question this most bloody piece of work to know it further. Fears and scruples shake us. In the great hand of God I stand, and thence against the undivulged pretense I fight of treasonous malice.
And so do I.
So all.
Let's briefly put on manly readiness and meet in the hall together.
Welcome.
Well contented.
Welcome then.
What will you do? Let's not consort with them. To show an unfelt sorrow is an office which the false man does easy. I'll to England.
To Ireland, I. Our separated fortune shall keep us both the safer. Where we are, there's daggers in men's smiles. The near in blood, the nearer bloody.
This murderous shaft that shot hath not yet lighted, and our safest way is to avoid the aim. Therefore to horse, and let us not be dainty of leave-taking, but shift away. There's warrant in that theft which steals itself when there's no mercy left.
Threescore and ten I can remember well, within the volume of which time I have seen hours dreadful and things strange. But this sore night hath trifled former knowings.
Thou seest the heavens as troubled with man's act threatens his bloody stage. By the clock 'tis day, and yet dark night strangles the travelling lamp. Is night's predominance or the day's shame that darkness does the face of earth entomb when living light shall kiss it?
'Tis unnatural, even like the deed that's done. On Tuesday last, a falcon, towering in her pride of place, was by a mousing owl hawked at and killed.
And Duncan's horses, a thing most strange and certain, beauteous and swift.
The minions of their race.
And wild in nature, broke their stalls, flung out, contending against obedience as they would make war with mankind.
'Tis said they ate each other.
They did so, and to the amazement of mine eyes that looked upon it. Here comes the good Macduff. How goes the world, sir, now?
Why, see you not?
It's known who did this more than bloody deed.
Those that Macbeth hath slain.
Alas, the day. What good could they pretend?
They were suborned. Malcolm and Donalbain, the king's two sons, are stolen away and fled, which puts upon them suspicion of the deed.
Against nature still thriftless ambition that will ravin up thine own life's means. Then 'tis most like the sovereignty will fall upon Macbeth.
He is already named, and gone to Scone to be invested.
Where is Duncan's body?
Carried to Colmkill, the sacred storehouse of his predecessors and guardian of their bones.
Will you to school?
No, cousin, I'll to fight.
Well, I will thither.
Well, may you see things well done there. Adieu, lest our old rogues sit easier than our new.
Farewell, father.
God's benison go with you, and with those that would make good of bad and friends of foes.
Thou hast it now, King Cawdor Glam's all, as the weird women promised, and I fear thou playedst most foully for it. Yet it was said it should not stand in thy posterity, but that myself should be the root and father of many kings. If there come truth from them as upon thee, Macbeth, their speeches shine. Why, by the verities on thee made good, may they not be my oracles as well, and set me up in hope. But hush, no more.
Here's Banquo, our chief guest.
If he had been forgotten, it had been as a gap in our great feast, an all thing unbecoming.
Tonight we hold a solemn supper, sir, and I'll request your presence.
Let your highness command upon me, to the which my duties are with a most indissoluble tie forever knit.
Ride you this afternoon?
Aye, my good lord.
Oh, we should have else desired your good advice, which still hath been both grave and prosperous in this day's council, but we'll take tomorrow. Is't far you ride?
As far, my lord, as will fill up the time twixt this and supper. Go not my horse, the better I must become a borrower of the night for a dark hour or twain.
They'll not our feast.
My lord, I will not.
We hear our bloody cousins are bestowed in England and in Ireland, not confessing their cruel parricide, filling their hearers with strange invention. But of that tomorrow, when therewithal we shall have cause of state craving us jointly. Hie you to horse, adieu, till you return at night. Goes Fleance with you?
Aye, my good lord. Our time does call upon us.
I wish your horses swift and sure of foot, and so I do commend you to their backs. Farewell. Let every man be master of his time till 7 at night. To make society the sweeter welcome, we will keep ourselves till supper time alone. Well, then, God be with you. Sir, a word with you. Attend those men our pleasure?
They are, my lord, without the palace gate.
Bring them before us.
To be thus is nothing, but to be safely thus.
Our fears in Banquo stick deep, and in his royalty of nature reigns that which would be feared. 'Tis much he dares, and to that dauntless temper of his mind he hath a wisdom that doth guide his valour to act in safety. There is none but he whose being I do fear, and under him my genius is rebuked, as it is said Mark Antony's was by Caesar. He chid the sisters when first they put the name of king upon me, and bade them speak to him. Then, prophet-like, they held him father to a line of kings. Upon my head they placed a fruitless crown, and put a barren scepter in my gripe, thence to be wrenched with an unlineal hand, no son of mine succeeding. If it be so, for Banquo's issue have I filed my mind. For them the gracious Duncan have I murdered, put rancors in the vessel of my peace, only for them. And mine eternal jewel given to the common enemy of man. To make them kings? The seed of Banquo kings? Rather than so come fate unto the list and champion me to the utterance.
Who's there? Was it not yesterday we spoke together?
It was, so please, your highness.
Well then, now, have you considered of my speeches? How you were born in hand, how crossed, the instruments, who wrought with them, and all things else that might, to half a soul, and to an ocean craze, say, thus did Banquo.
You made it known to us.
I did so, and went further, which is now our point of second meeting. Do you find your patience so predominant in your nature that you can let this go? Are you so gospelled to pray for this good man and for his issue, whose heavy hand hath bowed you to the grave and beggared yours forever?
We are men, my liege.
Aye, in the catalogue you go for men, as hounds and greyhounds, mongrels, spaniels, curs, water rugs, and demi-wolves are clept, all by the name of dogs. But the valued file distinguishes the swift, the slow, the subtle, the housekeeper, the hunter, every one according to the gift which bounteous nature hath in him closed, and so of men. Now, if you have a station in the file, not in the worst rank of manhood, say it, and I will put that business in your bosoms, whose execution takes your enemy off, grapples you to the heart and love of us, who wear our health but sickly in his life, which in his death
were perfect.
I am one, my liege, whom the vile blows and buffets of the world has so incensed that I am reckless what I do to spite the world.
And I another, so weary with disasters, tugged with fortune that I would set my life on any chance to mend it or be rid on't.
Both of you know Ankwa was your enemy.
True, my lord.
So is he mine. And in such bloody distance that every minute of his being thrust against my nearest of life, and though I could, with barefaced power, sweep him from my sight and bid my will avouch it, yet I must not.
We shall, my lord, perform what you command us. Though our lives...
Your spirits shine through you! Within this hour at most, I will advise you where to plant yourselves, acquaint you with the perfect spy of the time, the moment on't, for it must be done tonight, and something from the palace. Always thought that I required a clearness, and with him to leave no rubs nor botches in the work. Fleance, his son, that keeps him company, whose absence is no less material to me than is his father's, must embrace the fate of that dark hour. Resolve yourselves apart. I'll come to you anon.
We are resolved, my lord.
I'll call upon you straight. Abide within.
It is concluded. Banquo, thy soul's flight, if it find heaven,
must find it out tonight.
Is Banquo gone from court?
Aye, madam, but returns again tonight.
Say to the king I would attend his leisure for a few words.
Madam, I will.
Naught sad, all spent, were our desires got without contempt. 'Tis safer to be that which we destroy than by destruction dwell in doubtful joy. How now, my lord? Why do you keep alone of sorriest fancies your companions making, using those thoughts which should indeed have died with them they think on? Things without all remedy should be without regard. What's done is done.
We have scorched the snake, not killed it. She'll close and be herself, whilst our poor malice remains in danger of her former tooth. But let the frame of things disjoint ere we will eat our meal in fear and sleep in the affliction of these terrible dreams that shake us nightly. Duncan is in his grave. After life's fitful fever, he sleeps well. Treason has done his worst, nor steel nor poison, malice domestic, foreign levy, nothing can touch him further.
Come on. Gentle, my lord, sleek o'er your rugged looks, be bright and jovial among your guests tonight.
So shall I, love, and so I pray be you. Let your remembrance apply to Banquo. Present him eminence both with eye and tongue, and save the while that we must lave our honours in these flattering streams, and make our faces visits to our hearts, disguising what they are.
You must leave this.
Full of scorpions is my mind, dear wife. Thou knowest that Banquo and his fleance live.
But in them nature's copies not etern.
There's comfort yet. They are assailable, then be thou jocund. Ere the bat hath flown his cloistered flight, ere to black Hecate summons the shard-born beetle with his drowsy hums hath rung night's yawning peal, there shall be done a deed of dreadful note.
What's to be done?
Be innocent of the knowledge, dearest Chuck, till thou applaud the deed. Scarf up the tender eye of beautiful day, and with thy bloody and invisible hand, cancel and tear to pieces that great bond which keeps me pale. Light thickens, and the crow makes wings to the rooky wood. Good things of day begin to droop,
and rouse, whilst night's black agents to their praise do rouse.
Thou marvelest at my words, but hold thee still. Things bad begun make strong themselves by ill.